morning, Christ Church. Welcome to our live stream. We are so happy to see you here. We'd love if you would worship with us wherever you're at.
Name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together, lift up your name, call on our Savior, call on his grace. Together, lift up your name, call on our Savior, fall on his grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on. In this time of desperation, all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation we believe. We believe. Broken generation, and all is dark, you help us see. There is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. New life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And He's coming back again. We believe. And so let our faith be more than we believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death.
Christchurch, thank you so much for joining us here. I'm going to say a prayer to get us started. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment where we get to just lean into who you are and who you've called us to be. I pray for myself. I pray for every heart listening today, this week, Father, that you would speak the truth of Jesus Christ into our hearts today. I pray, Father, that we would hear your voice, that we would hear you calling us by name, saying, "This is the way," and walk in it. I pray, Father, that you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Earlier this year, our family got a new car, and it's the newest new car that they've gotten in a really, really long time, and it's got this fancy screen in the middle of the console, and my phone connects to it, so now it's not just a radio anymore. It's got, like, my iTunes on there. We can listen to audiobooks, connects to my maps and my phone calls, and it even came with 3 months free of Sirius XM radio. 90s on 9 was the thing I didn't know I needed in my life, but it's fantastic. But because it's so much more fancy than I have the skill level for, I'm still trying to learn how to use everything and how everything works together. So, like, for example, when my phone is plugged in, the volume is way, way lower, so I got to crank it up so we can hear whatever my phone is playing. But unfortunately, when I plug my phone to get out of the car, I almost always forget to turn the volume back down, so it, like, blasts, and it's so loud that it hurts your ears and everybody's frazzled. Way too painfully loud. My girls and I like to listen to audiobooks and podcasts, and it's tricky because, like, we'll be listening to it, and sometimes they get interrupted or played over. So if a call comes in, it interrupts what we're listening to. So I have to make sure, you know, like, every time it's like, turn in a half mile, turn in a quarter mile, turn right now. And so it interrupts, and we can't hear what's going on. Or with one program we use, they play at the same time. So we've got two different voices talking, and it's super frustrating because you can't hear one and you're trying to, like, turn out. And I'm sure very technically skilled people know how to fix these problems, but like I said, it's way beyond my skill level. And it's hard to hear anything when I'm trying to listen to everything all at one time. Have you been there before? Like, there's too many background noises going on and you can't really hear one of them. They all kind of get jumbled together and you can't hear between them. Now, I know I can do a couple of things at one time, but there's something about too many sounds coming at me, and it just frazzles the heck out of me, and I can't really bounce between the sounds or move from one to the other. And I feel like life is kind of really loud right now. There's so much noise coming at us, and there's all this shouting over each other to be heard, and voices telling us what to do and what not to do, and voices telling us this is right and this is wrong, and this is how you should live and this is how you shouldn't, and all these voices saying, like, if you do this, you're a good person. If you do this, you're a terrible person. Lots of voices competing with each other to be the loudest, and they're just shouting over each other, and they contradict each other, and it's impossible to listen to them all. It's too many voices coming at us, and we can't listen to them all when we try to hear them all at one time. Now, what makes this impossible is it's so many voices. How do we weed through and know which ones we listen to and which ones we don't? When it comes to doing life, we're reminded in the book of Hebrews that there is one voice that is greatest of all, and it's the voice of Jesus Christ. It's the voice that's never going to let us down and never going to lead us astray. And this is what the author says in Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 1. He said, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs." Now, it's really interesting, before we kind of break down these pieces, I want to help us understand the context of Hebrews. This book was written to a group of people who had been Jewish and grown up in the Jewish tradition and knew the laws and knew the rules and knew what to do and not to do, and they met Christ, and they gave their lives to Christ, and there was this huge shift going on in their world and in their lives, and they were having a really hard time in this tension of what to let go and the traditions they'd grown up with and what it looked like to follow Christ now. And in the midst of this tension, they're getting persecuted on all sides. People who used to be part of the same tradition giving them a hard time, and people who don't know anything about it giving them a hard time. And no matter where they turned, they were facing trouble, and life was hard. They weren't sure what to do, and they weren't sure who to listen to in this new world they were trying to navigate, and they had all these different voices telling them what to do. And in the midst of this confusion, in the midst of this trouble, the author of Hebrews meets them right there and says, "Listen, let me remind you exactly who Jesus Christ is, why you committed to following him, and why he's worth following." And he says, "Listen, in all of history, God's been speaking, and he's been speaking in different times and different ways, but God's had a message for his people at all times. And in times past, God spoke to his people through the prophets and through angels." And you can read through the Old Testament and read about these incredible moments where God's messenger showed up with this word that he wanted to speak to humanity at the time. They were speaking to people on behalf of God. But then he says, in these last days, in this time, in these days, now he's speaking to us by his Son. And while the prophets and the angels and these messengers had incredible messages to share, none of their voices are greater than Christ. God's message for the world, God's ideas that he wants to share, they find their greatest and fullest expression in the person of Jesus Christ. And then he breaks down and says, "Let me just remind you who Christ is." Because when we're reminded who Christ is, we're reminded why his voice is the greatest voice we should be listening to. And he gives us four big ideas to think about who Christ is. And the first one he says is, listen, all of time is in the hands of Jesus Christ. He says he has appointed the heir of all things through whom he created the world. So it's interesting because at the beginning of time, Christ was there speaking the world into creation. At the end of time, Christ will be there. The heir is the one who inherits all things. So Christ is there at the beginning. He will be there at the end. And all things were made by the word, by him, by the power of his voice. He was part of speaking all of the wonder of the beauty of the world that we live in into creation. And he's not just the creator, but the heir, the one who will be there, who inherits all things. Everything begins with him, and everything ends with him, and all time in between, Christ is in charge of this time. He's existed for all time, and there's no time that Christ is not. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, Christ is part of it all. And so when the author of Hebrews says, listen, here's why Christ's voice is superior to the other voices, these different voices are here for a time. They're here for a certain specific point in history, but Christ's voice exists for all of time and all of history. And then the second idea he gives us is that through Christ, we know God. He says that Christ is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. What is visible to us of the glory of God is seen in Jesus Christ. And again, Christ isn't just somebody who lived at one time and did some good things in one period. He's God. He's divine in nature, and he's been around for all time and for all history. And all the power and the glory and the majesty of God, we see that in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, here's an idea to help us see this. You can't look directly at the sun. It's too much, right? It will damage your eyes. It's too bright. You can only see the radiance of the sun. And when it comes to we can't see God, but what can be seen of him is seen in Jesus Christ. Christ is fully God, and he was fully human. He was perfect in his divinity and in his humanity. And through Christ, we know the essence of God. We know his character. We know his nature. He is the exact imprint of his nature. So when we look to Christ and see what he did and we see what he said, we know that God is a God of justice and goodness and faithfulness and steadfast love. We know his mercy and his kindness and his power. It shows up in the words he said, but it also shows up in the actions he took while he was here on earth. And then the third idea he gives us is that Christ is in control. He said that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So not only was Christ powerful enough to speak life into existence, to speak the world, he's upholding it right now as we speak by the word of his power. He's still at work right now. The entire order, the divine order, the world order is sustained by Jesus Christ. And to uphold the world, he's at work holding all these things together. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm constantly struggling to hold things together. I feel like it's a juggling act, and like I might be killing it in one area, but I'm wrecking it in another, or I feel one great about one side and then a mess about another. It's kind of like that classic cartoon moment. I mean, my old school, like Dennis the Menace cartoon, like the intro, like he runs in and the mom's in the kitchen and she's got the pile of dishes and he spins around her and all the dishes go flying in the air. And then she's trying to like catch them all and balance them and she's got her plates on one hand and she's got like on her feet balanced and the cups landing. Like she's in this kind of precarious moment. Like I feel like that's how life feels all of the time. Like one wrong move and it's all going to come crashing down. Or one stiff breeze is going to knock me over and all of the things I'm trying to hold are going to come crashing down with me. That's how life feels. But friends, that's not how Christ upholds the world. He's not sweating under the strain. He's not holding on by a thread. He is holding it all together with grace and strength and power and might. The power of his word, his voice, is enough to hold these things together. Please remember, he's not surrendered his authority over this world. He is still in control. And he's not struggling like we are. Instead, he's handling it all exactly how he's supposed to. Which reminds me, instead of me trying to single-handedly try to control everything, that's never been my job. My job has been to always trust that Christ is upholding all things. It's his job to hold things together. It's my job to trust in him. And then here's the last point that the author of Hebrews makes for us. He says, let's look at the work of Christ. If you want to remember who Christ is and why his voice is greater than all these other voices you've heard, look at what he's done. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Christ isn't just some ideal or some symbol or some good man who lived some time ago. He truly existed in time and in space, and he came into this world and became human for us. He identified with the oppressed and the hurting, and he reversed places with the marginalized and the poor and the overlooked. And through Christ, we get to see the nature of God. John Calvin said it this way. He said, this is the wonderful exchange which out of his measureless benevolence he's made with us, that becoming the Son of Man with us, he has made us sons of God with him, that by his descent to earth, he has prepared an ascent to heaven for us, that by taking on our mortality, he has conferred his immortality upon us, that accepting our weakness, he has strengthened us by his power, that receiving our poverty unto himself, he has transferred his wealth to us, that taking the weight of our iniquity upon himself, he has clothed us with his righteousness. Christ received what is ours, what is messy and broken in me, and exchanged it with what is best in him. This is what Christ shows us. God loves you and I so much that Christ came into the world on our behalf. That Jesus Christ is the only one who could ever make purification for our sins. All the traditions that the Jewish people had been following up to this time, they weren't enough. They had to keep doing them again and again and again. But what Christ did, he did once for all. By becoming human, by entering this world, he came to earth to live as a man and suffer and die. And he did it willingly and lovingly and voluntarily went through the exchange because of God's great love for us. And in this love, he offers us hope and grace that in him we might be saved. In Christ, sins get forgiven and people who are nobodies become somebodies. People who've been outcast and overlooked their whole life enter to a relationship where they are seen and they belong. Human lives are given a new purpose. Only Christ could do that. Nobody else and nothing else ever could. Christ completed this incredible, powerful work that only he could do, and now he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high to rule over this incredible work in the church. He's seated in the most exalted place in the entire universe, and God exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name. So at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Jesus Christ is literally God's ultimate message to humanity. And he says there's a reason why we listen to his voice. There's a reason why we're willing to follow him. There's a reason why we're willing to live in ways that aren't always comfortable or easy, because Christ's voice is worth following. And with all of the noise and all of the chaos and all of the voices coming at us from every direction, Christ is a voice that is clear to follow. It is a voice that we can trust, and it will never, ever let us down. I think it's important for us to discern, what does Christ's voice sound like, and what doesn't it sound like? And I want to start with what the voice of Christ does not sound like. The voice of Jesus Christ does not sound like insecurity. That voice inside of you that says, you're never going to be like them, don't even try. That voice inside of you that says, you're stupid. What are you thinking to even try to do what you're doing? That voice that makes you feel inadequate or never enough, never smart enough, never good enough, never any of the enoughs. That is not the voice of Jesus Christ. Now, it's a voice that many of us struggle with, and it's a voice that's been winning for a long time. But the voice of Jesus Christ that we should hear today says, you are capable of so much more. He's the one reminding us that we've been made in his image and that in him we're more than enough for everything that needs to be done right now. His voice is the one that reminds us we were made for today, this time, and who we are, our heart, our voice, our space is necessary. God didn't need somebody else to be you. They've already got a job. They've already got a space. God needs us to be us and you to be you right where you are in the space that you inhabit right now. The voice of Jesus Christ does not sound like fear. The voice of fear that says everything that's going to go bad is absolutely going to happen and you could be hurt, so don't ever try to do this. It doesn't sound like the voice of fear that shouts no at everything and tells us to just hide away and never do anything again. It's not that voice of fear that says stay comfortable, stay safe, just go along with the status quo. See, the voice of fear shuts us down, but the voice of Jesus Christ wakes us up. The voice of fear ruins our hearts and destroys our life, but Christ is a voice that gives life again and again and again. And where the voice of fear tears down, the voice of Christ lifts us up. Now, this next one is going to be hard because some of us grew up in church or we grew up with religion, and somehow religion and shame have gotten all mingled together. And when we hear about God, we feel like there should be some shame and some guilt that goes along with it, right? Like if you're not feeling enough shame, then clearly you don't love God enough. But the voice of Jesus Christ does not sound like shame. He's never shamed any of us into following him. That tape that runs through your mind, that runs over and over of everything you've ever done wrong or every bad mistake that you've made and saying that you aren't good enough or who do you think you are and laughs at you for wanting to be more, that is not the voice of Jesus Christ. There's no better author on shame than Brené Brown. She said, shame is the fear that something we've done or failed to do makes us unworthy of connection. She said, it is an intensely painful feeling or experience of believing we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love, belonging, and connection. Here's the truth. Everybody knows shame, and it makes us feel miserable. But the voice of Christ speaks into our shame and says, you're so worthy of being loved. I gave my life that you might know what it means to be called a son and a daughter of God. The voice of Jesus Christ says, you belong. This place is yours, and connects our souls and that longing that can only be found in him. Christ doesn't shame us into change. He loves us. Christ doesn't say, hey, you know what? Now that you're perfect, now that you stopped doing all those bad, messy things, now that you walked away from that old stuff, like, okay, now you're good enough. You prove to me, and then you can be here. That's not what Christ does. In fact, here's the message of Christ. While we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Not when we were pretending to be perfect, but when we were our messiest, when we were our ugliest, Christ said, I see you, and I'm willing to give my life because there's something in you that is worth it, and I'm willing to give my life for who you might become. The voice of Jesus Christ never feels or sounds like insecurity, fear, or shame, but it does sound like hope. It does sound like love and courage and power. If you've not heard the voice of Jesus Christ, can I just remind you who he is today? He is the one who loves you so much that he went to the cross to give his life that you may live. He is the one who invites us to come to him, no matter what we're bringing with us, no matter how heavy the baggage is, no matter how ugly yesterday was, no matter how ugly 2 minutes ago was, Jesus Christ says, bring it all to me. Lay it down here at my feet and let me give you a little bit of rest for your soul. Fear and shame are exhausting. Insecurity is heavy and it's hard to carry. But Christ invites us to bring all our fears, all our shame, all our insecurities to him. And when we do, he fills us up with faith and hope and love. everything we listen to in our life, all these voices that we hear, they become part of our heart and we absorb it into who we are. From the books that we read, to the music that we listen to who we follow on social media and the shows and the movies that we watch, they all become part of our experience. Some voices are greater than others. Some voices are healthier than others. Some voices need to be put on mute, and others need the volume turned way up. But here's the truth. We can't listen to them all. We can't hear them clearly if we're trying to listen to every single one. But we can create a process by which we choose who we listen to. We choose who we give our attention and our space to, and we have all kinds of opportunities to say, look, I don't want to just give my space and energy to everybody. It's exhausting and I don't have time for it. But there is a choice that we can make on who we listen to and how we filter through these voices that are coming with us. Hebrews reminds us the voice of Jesus Christ is the greatest voice we could all listen to. Jesus Christ is the one that helps us filter through every other voice that we're listening to. So how do we say, I turn this volume up and I turn this volume down on all of these voices around us, whether it's our friends or our family or our neighbors or social media or the news, all of these contradicting opinions? Let me give you a couple of questions to process through these voices to help. Here's the first one. Is this voice calling me to do anything that doesn't line up with who Christ calls me to be? When I hear all these voices around me and I'm trying to decide, is this something good to put in or should I be taking more out? Do they line up with who Christ is and who he calls me to be? Here's a second question. Is this person trying to help or are they trying to further their own agenda? You know, without trying, we all have our own agendas, things that we're trying to accomplish in this world for good or for bad. And it matters if somebody's just trying to get my listening to help further their own agenda. Here's an important one. What's their track record? You can tell a lot about a person more than just what they say by what they do. Christ has a proven track record. We can go back and he didn't just say incredible things. He backed it up with his life and his actions and his death and his resurrection. You know, people in our life have track records and they might say all of the right things, but their track record doesn't back up what they say. Here's another one. What do the people I trust have to say about them? When I'm really trying to filter out some of these voices, use trusted voices to help us filter out the other ones. And then here's the last one. What do they value? Do their values match my values? Do their values line up with the values that I'm trying to live out every day? Let me pull this all together. Here's why it matters. In flying, there's this incredible idea called drifting. Now, what happens is every airplane needs to chart their course to get to their destination. They start out in one place. They have to say, this is how we're going to get there, and this is what it's going to look like. Because when they're up in the air, things look so different, and you've got to follow this course that you've charted. Now, here's what's interesting about this drifting idea. If you're off by 1 degree in direction, you will miss your landing spot by 92 feet. So the rule of thumb is that is 1 mile off target for every 60 miles flown. So say you decided to start at the equator and fly around the Earth. If you are 1 degree off through that flight, you will land almost 500 miles off target. Now, 1 degree doesn't seem like a whole lot. It seems so small. But over time, you start out thinking this is the direction you're going, and you land way off course. Listen to what the author of Hebrews says. He said, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. It's easy to drift away from what we've heard if we don't pay attention to it. Drifting in life is easy. It can happen without us even trying sometimes. We think this is the direction I'm going, but I stop paying attention and I stop giving space to the things that matter the most. It's easy to allow the voice of Jesus Christ to move from being our driving force to just background noise, to eventually something that we don't hear at all. But the author of Hebrews says, we got to be careful to pay attention because we don't want to drift from this incredible idea of who Christ is and find ourselves somewhere way far from where we wanted to be. There are incredible voices in this world, authors and speakers who call out better in me and help me want to be a better girl. But there is only one voice that can change me into the better person, and that is Jesus Christ. Friends, if we've drifted away from him, there's no better time than today to turn back, to turn off some of that background noise and open up our hearts to him. I want to encourage you to listen to Jesus Christ this week. In the quiet of your heart, turn off all of the noise and just spend some time praying with him. And it doesn't have to be elaborate or fancy. It can be as simple as, dear God, would you please help me to find you again? Dear God, please help me to follow Jesus Christ this week. Dear God, I've drifted farther than I thought I ever would. Help me to get back on track with you. We hear the voice of Jesus Christ in the scriptures, and we read his word, and we look for him there. Because, friends, we're all looking for something good right now. The world is hard and it's messy, and we all want something better. But I promise you that the something better we all need and our souls are longing for is found in Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please help us. I pray that we would hear your voice today calling us to follow you. I pray, Father, that the voice of Jesus Christ would be louder and clearer than any other voice in our lives. I pray that you would please call us by name and direct us in the way that we should go. Father, for those who've never heard your voice, I pray that today they would say yes to you. They would say yes to following you. They would say yes to giving their hearts and giving you space to lead them in the way they should go. Father, for our friends who have drifted away, who've gotten off course and aren't where they used to be, I pray that you would lead them back to you. I pray, Father, that this week you would help them to find the space to shut off all the noisiness of this world and just listen to you. I pray that you would give them space to see you and hear you and follow you more than they've ever followed you before. Oh, Father, for those who are trying so desperately to pay attention, I pray that you would help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There's another in the water holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free? There is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. Is another in the fire. Oh, is another in the fire. Oh, all my dead left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. And There's another in the fire standing next to me. There's another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding, power set me free. There's a grave that holds nobody. The power lives in me. There is another in the fire. Oh, there's another in the fire. Oh, there's another in the fire. Nothing stands between us. There's another in the fire standing next to me. There's another in the water holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding, will power set me free? There's a grave that holds nobody. Now the power lives in me. There's another in the fire standing next to me. There's another in the water holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding what you've done for me? There's a grave that holds nobody. There's a grave that holds nobody. Now the power lives in me. Thank you so much for tuning into our live stream. We'll see you here next week. Have a good day.